Well, tonight we're talking with Lawrence Joyce. He's a member of the Doctors for Disaster Preparedness, which is a private sector organization that advocates civil defense. We're not going to talk about that with him tonight. Tonight we talk about ancient sites in 2012, and that'll be next on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast. Lawrence Joyce was with us almost 10 years ago, and he's back now on Coast to Coast AM. Where have you been hiding for 10 years, Lawrence?
Well, here and there.
All over the place. What's new with you?
Well, just to give you a little background on me, I'm a pharmacist. I'm also an attorney. I do my legal work principally in a few political things here and there. I'm a full-time practicing pharmacist, and I'm an amateur astronomer, although I haven't been active for about the past three decades. But in the heyday of my being an amateur astronomer, I was president of my high school astronomy club. I made my own telescope. I've made a couple of trips to view solar eclipses. I had an observation report published in Sky and Telescope magazine concerning an aurora display that I saw when I was in high school. What I've been doing lately pertains to the fact that some people I know who know that I'm at least somewhat knowledgeable from an amateur standpoint about astronomy asked me if there was anything to the ancient Maya calendar and its prediction that we will enter a new era on December 21st of 2012. And so as a favor to them, essentially to help reassure them that there was really nothing to worry about, I decided to do a little study on the ancient Maya calendar and see what I could find, sort of as a favor to them.
Okay, and we're going to get into a lot of that. I remember during my youth with a small little telescope that my parents had gotten me for Christmas, Lawrence, what kind of a great time I had. I mean, I would go outside in the wee hours in Detroit, cold winter nights, and, you know, look at the Saturn and the moon and Jupiter, and I was just mesmerized. Mm-hmm. By what I could see out of this small little telescope. And, you know,
While you were observing, you were oblivious to the cold, too, weren't you?
Yes, you were.
Yeah.
You were.
And you go with your bare hand to touch the tube of the telescope to take it down to go back into the house.
Yeah.
And you touch it with your bare hand, and all of a sudden you realize how cold it is.
How cold it was, exactly. Yeah. But, you know what? I would never trade those days in. Never. Yeah. I mean, I loved it. So you did a study about the Mayan calendar. What kind of a study was it?
Well, it was. I said to myself that if there's anything to this, we should go looking for evidence that there may be something to this, where we would expect to see some evidence. And in so doing, I was applying a principle that is common both to law and to science, which is namely that if you expect to find evidence of something in a particular place and there's no evidence there, well, then the absence of that evidence itself constitutes evidence that the event did not take place or that something's not going to happen. And so I decided to apply astronomy to geography. And first thing I said to myself is, well, what will be the point on Earth that the sun will be over at the winter solstice of next year? And I got a time from the reputable Stellafane website, and it pointed out that the winter solstice next year will come at a time of 11 hours, 11 minutes, and 32 seconds universal time, which is 5 hours ahead of New York and 8 hours ahead of Los Angeles. And I said to myself, all right, where's the sun going to be at that moment? And I took a look along the Tropic of Capricorn. Of course, since it's the winter solstice, the sun would be at some point along that line, the Tropic of Capricorn. And I noticed that the sun would be just west of the coast of Africa at that moment in time. And I said to myself, all right, if we're supposed to bump into some sort of new age or something like that, some new era for mankind, then there will be a point out in space that the planet Earth will bump into right at that particular moment as it is moving around the sun and through space. And I said to myself, where is that point going to be? And to illustrate this, picture yourself holding a globe in your hand, and you're looking straight down on the Atlantic Ocean just west of the coast of Africa, not too far north of South Africa, of the country of South Africa.
Okay.
And you move the globe in your hand from right to left with your head being the sun, so to speak, and that simulates the motion of Earth in its orbit around the sun. And at a particular moment in time, we will come to the winter solstice of 2012. And I said to myself, what is the point of Earth that is essentially the leading point of Earth as you're moving through space right at that moment in time? Well, of course, that has to be 90 degrees to the west of the longitude that the winter solstice is at. And as it turns out, if you take a look at a globe, you turn it 90 degrees to the west, you'll see that that point is on the equator, and it's just north of Quito, Ecuador. Quito is the capital of Ecuador. It's in South America. It's just north of Ecuador. It's just north of Peru and just southwest of Colombia. And I said to myself, all right, I wonder if there's anything here that would constitute some sort of evidence, at least as to what was going on with the ancient Mayans or what there might be in the way of evidence confirming anything about what they said. And I came to the slopes at that point, as I looked online, of an area a little bit to the east of the slopes of a volcano, an extinct volcano called Nevado Cayambe.
And where is that?
That is just north of Quito, Ecuador. And the volcano, I guess I should say, it's to the northeast of Quito.
Okay.
And along, it's the southern slopes of the volcano across the equator. As a matter of fact, I was surprised by the image I saw online. I said to myself, it looks like a snow-covered mountain, but this is the equator. Well, as it turns out, that mountain is so high above sea level that the southern slopes of that mountain mark the only point along the entire equator around the globe where the equator is covered by snow. As a matter of fact, the peak immediately north of the equator gets up to almost 19,000 feet above sea level. And I said to myself, well, that's interesting, but not too much there. But I said to myself, oh, let me fine-tune this a little bit, because planet Earth, of course, does not have a circular orbit around the sun. It has an elliptical orbit. And to account for, what we see when we look at the sun is that there will be certain times of the year when the sun will appear to cross the center line of the sky from any given point a few minutes ahead of the time you would expect to see it. And there will be other times of the year when it will appear to lag behind and will cross the center line of the sky, the meridian, a few minutes late. And the equation for determining this for any given time is called the equation of time. And I said to myself, I'm going to have to account for the equation of time in order to get the proper position of the sun and everything that follows from it. And so I did some research, and I found out that the sun will cross the meridian at any given point about 2.4 minutes earlier than one would expect. And I said to myself, all right, 2.4 minutes earlier. And I said to myself, that's a little more than half a degree of longitude, about 36 minutes of longitude. And so you have to shift everything to the west by about 36 minutes of longitude. And I did that, and I noticed that now I was immediately north, along the equator, immediately north of Quito. And I said to myself, what's there?
Tell me the significance of all this, Lawrence. What's it all mean?
Well, if at any given point in time, Earth in its orbit, you can predict just by simple mathematics and physics that if there's a given point in time that you're concerned with, then you can tell where planet Earth will be at that particular point in time. And so the idea behind the Maya calendar is that we are about to enter into a new era on December 21st of 2012. And I said to myself, so there's a point out in space that Earth will be in 2012, and Earth will be moving into that point. There will be an intersection between some spot on planet Earth and that point out in space where we will supposedly enter into a new era. And I said to myself, you know, what is the point on Earth that is going to bump into that rendezvous point out in space?
How did the Mayans know this? They didn't have the kind of technology. They didn't have the kind of mathematics. Mm-hmm. How would they know anything about where the planet may or may not be around 2012?
Well, you see, my investigation does not depend upon them knowing where the planet will be in 2012. But I said to myself, if there's something about the Maya calendar that is either inherent within their own astronomy or which they may have had some outside influence or help from in coming up with their calendar, then perhaps we would see some evidence of it right at this point where Earth, the leading point of Earth as we come to the winter solstice of 2012.
Have you ruled out some kind of mishap from the sun, some kind of X-flare blast or anything like that?
Some X-flare blast doing what?
From hitting us around that same time period.
I'm of the opinion that, and I'll get into this later on, I'm of the opinion that when we reach the winter solstice next year, that very few people will, if anybody at all, will see anything, feel anything, hear anything. I have no reason to think that that people will notice anything on that date.
Probably just going to be another one of those days, right?
That's what I'm thinking. I don't think anybody will notice anything different. But that's a separate question as to whether or not something different will in fact take place. And I'll give you my perspective on that is that when Jesus was born, very few people heard anything, saw anything, noticed anything. The shepherds noticed, of course, because the angels came. Mary and Joseph knew what was going on. Later on, when the wise men came, they knew what was going on. But only a handful of people knew anything was going on until 30 years later when Jesus started his ministry. And likewise, when he rose from the dead, some Roman soldiers swooned at the sight, and a few women who had come to finish his burial preparations were shocked at the sight. But the apostles themselves apparently were still asleep in bed. So there's no reason to think that just because something happens that anybody or everybody's necessarily going to notice it, at least right away.
That's true generally, but now in an era of social networking and everything else, if it's significant, mm-hmm. I think the planet's going to know about it instantly. But like you said, it could be just one of those moments where it comes and goes and nobody knows any different.
That's possible, and that's what I'm thinking will probably take place, although I don't know that for an absolute fact. But anyway, if you want, I'll continue my discussion about what I found there.
Well, I don't want to get into the orbits and all that because it's just way too complicated for us.
Okay.
But
I can tell you what I found at there in Ecuador, though.
All right, go ahead.
Okay. I decided to look up Quito online. And found out that it's the word Quito comes from the Native American word Quetzalto, which means center of the world, the middle of the world. And I said to myself, well, now that's fascinating, because as you're looking at planet Earth coming toward you out in space as the winter solstice approaches next year, if you look down on planet Earth as it's coming toward you, this location is precisely in the middle of the world. And I said to myself, well, that's odd. How could they have known that? How could they possibly have known that? Well, as it turns out, there are other reasons why they would think of Quito as being the middle of the world, Quetzalto. The sun in its north-south passage every year crosses the equator, and so it appears to be the middle of the world from a north-south angle. And as they viewed the Andes Mountains, the two ranges to the east and west, it would appear to be in the middle of the world from a terrestrial perspective, but this is a particular perspective on things that caught my attention. And I said to myself, maybe I should look a little further, see if there's anything to this. As it turns out, the French in 1736, some explorers came through, and they were attempting to locate the precise location of the equator. They thought that they did, and they put a marker there, which in fact today is a modern tourist site north of Quito, simply called, in Spanish, Mitad del Mundo, meaning the middle of the world. And we found out, however, by modern GPS satellites that the French were off by about 1,000 feet. And there is a researcher in Ecuador by the name of Cristobal Cobo who noticed that just a few miles to the east of this marker, which is called the middle of the world, based on the French estimate in 1736, and about 1,000 feet north of it, is an ancient ruin. Goes back to 1500 BC, and this ancient ruin is actually on the equator itself. It's directly on the equator, and it's a very simple structure. It consists of a small obelisk, which is maybe 9 feet tall, roughly based on what I see in the photographs, and a short curved wall, and that's it. But the thing of it is, this short curved wall is set at a 23.5-degree angle to the equator. As a result, a line from one end of the wall to the other end of this curved wall traces the line of the ecliptic as seen at sunrise at the winter solstice and at sunset at the summer solstice. And I said to myself, that's fascinating. How close is this to the point?
It's like an instrument itself, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. It's an observatory that dates back to at least 1500 BC. This obelisk will cast a shadow at sunrise at the winter solstice that will run along from the base, from near the base of one end of the wall, over toward the base at the other end of the wall. The wall itself, as I say, has a curve to it. And I took a look and I said, well, it's on the equator, which would have to be the leading point of Earth at the winter solstice of next year. And as it turns out, based upon my estimates as best as I can get them from the coordinates that I see online, it is within about 2 miles of the very spot that will be the leading point of planet Earth in its journey through space as the winter solstice occurs next year.
See, but all this, I think, Lawrence, has got to prove something rather than, you know, them figuring out where is it going to be and why it's going to be there. I think there's got to be a purpose behind it. There's got to be some kind of huge, significant story here that they probably knew about.
Well, what's developing from this is the fact, and let me first of all point out that this obelisk that is there, the cast of shadow, is not in the center of this structure, which I think we can fairly call an observatory. It's at the southeast end of the curved wall. So at sunrise at the winter solstice, it casts its shadow along the length of this, along the base of the wall. But it's at the corresponding point, with the corresponding view of sunset at the summer solstice, this obelisk casts a shadow which essentially moves away from the entire observatory. So they weren't concerned equally with sunset at the summer solstice and sunrise at the winter solstice. This is an observatory which, unlike Stonehenge over in England, is dedicated to observing one astronomical event only, and that is sunrise at the winter solstice.
Now, assuming that 2012 has any significance with the Mayans, why that date?
Why that date, indeed?
Hold on to that, because we're going to take this break, and we'll come right back on Coast to Coast AM. Indeed. Hey, I've got a special Insta poll going on right now at coasttocoastam.com. Why don't you get up there and participate in it and you give us some feedback? If you would, just go to coasttocoastam.com. Lawrence, we were talking about why this date, December 21st, 2012. What's the significance of it, in your opinion?
Well, to answer that, let me first of all point out one thing about this ancient observatory, which I just mentioned. Because we're going to be 90 degrees to the west of the winter solstice, it will be the case that at the winter solstice of 2012, that will be seen at sunrise, as seen from this observatory. The sun will be right on the horizon at the winter solstice, and this observatory will cast this obelisk will cast this shadow, which is designed, as I say, solely to mark the sunrise at the winter solstice. Now, a lot of people have wondered about why the ancient Mayans came up with 2012, and let's consider some of the astronomy of the matter. The Earth, of course, is spinning on its axis, and as it spins on its axis, it wobbles the same way that a top would wobble as it spins on its axis, and this wobble is called precession, and it takes 26,000 years to complete. That is to say, if you look to the north these days at night, you see Polaris, the North Star. But Polaris wasn't always the North Star. There is this wobbling motion, the precession which takes place. And in ancient times, it was not the North Star. And a few thousand years from now, it won't be. But every 26,000 years, Earth's wobble on its axis brings it around to the point where the North Star, Polaris, is in fact the North Star. Now, at the time that the ancient Mayans came up with their calendar, the sun did not. The sun was in a different position at the winter solstice than it is now. And the thing of it is that even without telescopes, people can notice over a period of, say, about 175 years, can notice with the naked eye this slight precession of the Earth's axis. And it would have been possible for them to discern that within a particular narrow window of time, the sun would cross the mid-plane of the galaxy. We'll call it, I guess it has been called, the galactic equator, right at the winter solstice. So you have an alignment of the winter solstice, the ecliptic, with the galactic midpoint. And this is very close to the heart of the Milky Way, not quite exactly over the galactic center, but it is something which pertains a lot to their own mythology. We'll have to consider a few points of their mythology in order to understand this. For instance, the ancient Mayans looked very much to certain myths they had about what they called the sacred tree. The sacred tree was deemed to be a part of the sky that led to the underworld, and it was associated with the Milky Way, with our own galaxy.
Did they expect any doom or gloom, Lawrence? Do you know?
As far as I've heard, they never expected any doom or gloom.
No.
They simply believed that the calendar would roll over the same way our own calendar does every December 31st. It rolls over from one year into the next year. And they never, apparently they never believed that there was something, that there was anything more than that was going to happen. And so they had a belief about the sacred tree, and as Mayan researcher John Major Jenkins has pointed out, what was particularly significant to them was the crossing of the ecliptic with the Milky Way. Now, I know a lot of people are familiar with that famous sarcophagus lid from the Mayan ruin in Mexico,
right.
Called, I'm not sure the pronunciation, I think it's Palenque. And as a matter of fact, back in the early 70s, author Eric von Däniken said that what it really depicts, supposedly, is an ancient Mayan operating the controls of some sort of rocket, something like that.
Some flying device, yeah.
Some flying device, yeah. And as Jenkins pointed out, ancient Mayan glyphs on this particular sarcophagus lid pertain to the Milky Way and to the ecliptic, and they cross. And where they cross, they have an extension that goes into the umbilicus of this Mayan character, Lord Pakal, who is depicted on the sarcophagus lid. So to them, the crossing of the ecliptic with the Milky Way, for whatever reason, was something that they thought to be particularly significant. And they had a particular belief about that portion of the Milky Way. If you take a look at it, you'll see dark dust lanes in there, and those dark dust lanes are caused by interstellar dust, which obscures the light of the stars beyond them. And as they looked at it, right where the sun is in our current era at the winter solstice, they noticed that it looked like the open mouth of a creature that they called the jaguar toad. And the term jaguar toad sounds kind of comical to our modern ears, but it pertained to their belief that there was this creature that lived in the jungle and called the jaguar toad. And it was a very fearsome creature. If you went out into the jungle and you weren't careful, it would capture you and eat you. And the whole thing sounds like, you know, fabulous, ridiculous myth. But in fact, there is such a creature.
Hmm.
It's the crocodile.
It is.
Yeah,
and it will eat you.
Yeah, it's dark green. It lives on land and in the water. And so they thought of it as being a form of a toad. But it also has the great strength and man-eating appetite of a jaguar, so they called it the jaguar toad. It's a crocodile. And this particular portion of the sky where the sun is in our current era at the winter solstice has a dark dust lane in it that makes it look like you're looking at the profile of a crocodile with its mouth open. And they have legends about, for instance, their god One Hunapu emerging at the end of the long count from the mouth of the jaguar toad. They believe that this was part of the Milky Way was a. They had different myths about the Milky Way. They believed that it was a road to the underworld, and they believed that it was. It could be thought that it was a sacred road to them, and they believe that at this point, as they say, there was this jaguar toad, and they also believed that at the winter solstice of next year, at the end of the long count, the human race would see the would see the return of a god whom they called Bolan Yokte. Now, Bolan is their word for nine, and Balan is their word for jaguar, the ancient native term. Jenkins, in his research, has pointed out that he believes that this is a deliberate pun, a deliberate play on words, this correspondence between Bolan and Balan. And Yokte means at the foot of the tree, the Milky Way being the sacred tree. And this actually has astronomical significance. There's actually a point on Earth, an area on Earth, not one specific point, but there's actually a small area on Earth where this actually has astronomical significance. It corresponds to something you would see in the heavens from a particular place on Earth. And so taking all of this together, Jenkins has noticed that the galactic equator, as far as his own observations were able to tell, the sun at the winter solstice crosses the galactic equator within a time frame of about 36 years, which began in 1980 AD, and which will end just a few years from now, 2016. And so it is in this particular time frame, this 36-year time frame, that the end of the long count happens to take place. Now, why specifically 2012 within that period? I am of the opinion that whoever came up with the ancient Maya calendar had to come to an end in 2012, because at the winter solstice next year, in 2012, sunrise will occur as seen from this observatory in Ecuador, an observatory that is dedicated to sunrise at the winter solstice.
Well, doesn't that happen every year, every solstice?
Well, the winter solstice doesn't happen right at the moment of sunrise, except once every, I don't know how many hundreds of thousands of years it would be.
Let's say every 26,000 years, I think.
Well, I mean, no, see, that the 26,000 years pertains to Earth's wobble on its axis, but it's not going to be the case every 26,000 years that the moment of the winter solstice will occur at the moment of sunrise at this observatory. Every year on December 21st, you can see the sun cast, this obelisk will cast a shadow.
Why the uproar? Why the hoopla about this Mayan calendar date? I mean, you know, you see it in books, publications. It's on television. It's on our show. Why is everybody talking about this date when it's merely, in your opinion, a summer solstice? Really a no-brainer.
A winter solstice. I think that a lot of people are amazed by the acumen of the astronomy of the ancient Americans in realizing that there would be this alignment, which was not visible in their skies thousands of years ago because of the precession of Earth's axis. And it took some phenomenal astronomy to come up with a long count that ends during the time that the sun is crossing the galactic equator. Now, some people may dispute exactly where the galactic equator is, and I can understand that. But and some people may disagree with Jenkins as to just exactly where the galactic equator is and what the time frame is within which the sun will be crossing the galactic equator. But I haven't seen any rebuttal come up which suggests a more accurate time frame, first of all. Now, consider this also. As I mentioned, Quito comes from Quetzalcoatl, the middle of the world. There's another aspect, another way in which, a couple other ways in which at sunrise at the winter solstice next year, this observatory in Ecuador will be in the middle of things. The ancient Americans, like all ancient peoples, believed that the entire cosmos was divided into the upper half, which has the land of light and the land of the living, and the lower half, which is the land of darkness and the land of the dead. The winter solstice will occur next year just as the sun is at the crossing point between the land of light and the land of the living and the land of the dead. So it will be in the middle of the cosmos, as they would think of it, at the winter solstice on 2012, right at sunrise.
Do you think the Mayans had any kind of extraterrestrial help?
I'm not able to answer that, but I am convinced that there was some higher intelligence that was involved in this, and it was either extraterrestrial help, or it was perhaps God directly, or it was perhaps God acting through other help, such as angels or extraterrestrials or something like that. So there is yet, of course, another way in which the sun is in the middle of things, and that is, as I pointed out, the sun is crossing the galactic equator right at that point. So let's look at this from their point of view. There they are in the middle of the world, north and south, because they're at the equator, the midpoint of the sun's passage through the sky throughout the year. Then the middle of the world, because you have the Andes Mountains to the east and to the west. Then they're in the middle of the world. They're right in the middle of things because the sun at that point, at sunrise, at the winter solstice, is at the dividing point. As a matter of fact, by my calculations, this observatory is located at a spot that comes about, I would say, probably about 31 seconds after sunrise is when the winter solstice takes place, as seen from this observatory.
Well, we're getting close to it, Lawrence, whatever happens. I keep saying that I think we're going to have some kind of solar event based on the activity now of the sun from a moment of inactivity. But again, that's just me. That's all speculation. There's no hard proof.
And again, as I say, the sun at that point, apparently they recognized, is at the middle of things as far as the galaxy is concerned. Now, the level, we've always known that their level of acumen in astronomy was extremely remarkable. It was extremely good for its day and age. Now we're dealing with a level of accuracy in astronomy that is absolutely breathtaking for some people living in 1500 BC. You either have to believe, on the one hand, that it is simply a coincidence that they have an observatory set to mark sunrise of the winter solstice at the point where sunrise will occur at the winter solstice next year. And it will be the leading point of planet Earth in its journey through space. You either have to believe that all of that is a coincidence, or you have to believe that it was done deliberately by some mind, some intelligence, either among the people themselves or with some outside help in coming up with something with such incredible accuracy.
Oh, were they the only ones on the planet to do this at that time?
Well, they were the only ones looking to the winter solstice of 2012, but they weren't the only ones with extraordinary astronomy among ancient peoples, not by any stretch. As a matter of fact, there was an interconnection between them and various other famous astronomical sites of the ancient world, including Stonehenge and the Great Pyramid of Giza and Machu Picchu, which I found to be very extraordinary. All of this rocked me back on my heels. I was expecting to find absolutely nothing. And I wound up coming across things which are truly extraordinary.
You sound like, though, that you might be in shock if anything does happen on that date.
Well, I would be surprised if we notice anything. I would be surprised if we notice anything. But let me point out that the story about the wise men in the Bible, they were without knowledge of the scriptures. We can know this from the Bible itself, because when they got to Jerusalem, they had to ask where it was they would go find the Messiah, and they had to be told that the scriptures said that Jesus would be born in Bethlehem. Well, that the Messiah would be born in Bethlehem. But they knew from their own observing of the heavens that the King of the Jews was being born, and they knew about where to go look for him and about when to go look for him without any reference to the scriptures. And yet it was ordained by God that that should happen. Now, I'm of the opinion that in parallel manner to that, that the astronomy of the ancient world points to the fact that there will be some transition in the course of human history on that date, on December 21st of 2012. I myself am a very strong believer in the idea that we are living in the last generation before the second coming of Christ. And originally I had attributed no relevance or significance at all to the ancient Maya calendar. But looking at the precedent of what we see about the story of the wise men and their knowing about things that were to come pertaining to the first coming of the Messiah, I'm of the opinion that the ancient Maya calendar, and I haven't, of course, gone into all the evidence yet, but I'm of the opinion that the prediction of the ancient Maya calendar is analogous to the signs that the wise men saw, and that some change in course in human history will take place.
Well, I got to tell you, Lawrence, it is going to be on a Friday night, December 21st, 2012. I've got a cast of a million guests coming on the program to talk about this incredible story. And let's see what happens on that date. Lawrence Joyce has been our special guest. Back from Amsterdam is Richard C. Hoagland with a major report. He's next on Coast to Coast AM.